Happy 4th of July, and welcome to the Travel Guys here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Your hosts, I'm Tom Romano, along with Mark Hoffman.
Today on the Travel Guys, what could be more all-American on the 4th of July than a trip across the country on the historic Lincoln Highway?
Starting next week, you can play a piano in Central Park.
In the second half of our show, you'll meet an American legend.
And the price of a passport is going up. Details in a minute.
All that and more today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road.
Hit the road, Jack.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Get your gifts. I won't.
Thank you for joining us on this 4th of July edition of the Travel Guys. Here on News Talk 1530 KFBK, we're here every other Sunday. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks to everyone for joining us for this special 4th of July edition of the Travel Guys. If you are interested in traveling along with us on the program today, you can go to our website, travelguysradio.com, and follow along with us. You can also get information there, any of the websites, any of the guests on today's program, any information that you need can all be found at travelguysradio.com.
Okay, I know you've been anxiously anticipating this moment in time when we go to Sports Leisure Vacations, Mark Hoffman, for, yes, folks, the travel news.
Da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun-da-dun. As Tom mentioned, your passport is going to cost you more. Effective July 13th, in only a little more than a week, the price of visas, passports, and other consulate services will increase to reflect what the true cost is to provide the services. That means adult passports will go up to $110. Also, an employment immigrant visa is going to double in price to $720.
An employment immigrant visa?
I'm guessing that's the thing that folks need to get over the border and come and work in the fields or whatever other jobs that they do here.
Well,
for us.
I don't know if they got that kind of money and they're going to bring.
That's a very interesting comment. That's a large increase. Passengers are suing United and Continental Airlines over the mergers. A group of passengers filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in San Francisco last week, claiming the proposed merger would lessen competition, lead to higher fares and service cuts. Imagine that. Fewer players, higher prices.
Sure.
That's what it means all the time.
Nothing like a fair competition.
American Airlines is upgrading the interiors of many of its 737 aircraft, 76 of them to be exact. The cabin upgrades include more spacious and comfortable seats for both first class and economy passengers. The cabin upgrades will include power ports for computers and other passenger electronic systems. The entire fleet of 737s will be upgraded, including the new jets that the airline is scheduled to receive in 2011. This is what's interesting about this, though. American claims the new seating arrangements will allow it to add 12 more economy seats on each aircraft. That's two rows of six.
Okay, and of course they're making the plane bigger to do that, right?
No, the plane's the same size, but they're claiming that the seats have this new slimline design seat back design, and also the way that they recline is different. Now, I'm going to tell you, Delta's been using these seats for a while, and if you talk to anybody who has ridden cross country from Atlanta in one of them, they will tell you it is one of the most unpleasant seating experiences that you can have.
You're speaking from experience.
I'm only speaking from word of mouth so far, not from experience yet. Greek strikes are still causing concerns. Greek workers struck again this week to protest government austerity measures. Workers blockaded a port, stranding ferry passengers and making two cruise lines change their itineraries, which leads me to ask, why would people desperately in need of tourism dollars do things that discourage tourists from visiting their country?
On purpose, to make a point,
I
guess. To get their way.
Seems a little self-defeating.
It does.
In the Play Me a Song, Mr. Piano Man department, Dateline the Big Apple. Anyone who gets a sudden itch to tickle the ivories will be able to play free public pianos in 50 places throughout New York City, from the Coney Island Boardwalk to Central Park to the Metropolitan Museum.
Well, you know, now if they set up large guitar amplifiers and guitars to be able to do that, I would be in.
An art installation touring the world is making its first U.S. stop beginning Monday. For 2 weeks, players can play tunes on pianos all over New York City at famous landmarks like the Lincoln Center, the foot of the Brooklyn Bridge, the Staten Island Ferry Terminal. Each of the 60 pianos to be installed throughout New York has its own attendant responsible for its care. That involves unlocking the keyboard at 9 a.m. every day and deploying a heavy tarp over the piano if it rains.
I give them about a week of 10,000 different versions of chopsticks, and they're going to put an end to that.
The pianos were donated for the cause and have been painted and decorated by artists. They will be delivered to 27 locations in Manhattan, 10 in Brooklyn, 5 in Queens, 4 each in Staten Island and the Bronx. After the exhibition concludes, the pianos will be donated to schools and hospitals, according to Sing for Hope, a nonprofit that coordinated the New York project. What an incredibly great idea, unless, of course, you live down the street from one.
There you go.
And that's the travel news for today.
And our journey across this great land on the Lincoln Highway is just about to begin.
If you'd like to follow along on our journey across the Lincoln Highway, and you have a computer available to you, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. TravelGuysRadio.com, no spaces, all one word. And when you pull that up, you will see a map of the historic Lincoln Highway from coast to coast. And you can follow along with us as we talk with our guests for the rest of the program. Coming up right after the break, Brian Butko, noted historian and author from along the Lincoln Highway, will join us as our first guest in 3 minutes. You're listening to The Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman with Tom Romano, and this is KFBK News Talk 1530.
He was sitting there with a couple of friends, no work to be done, not a care in the world, in that old roadside saloon on the Lincoln Highway. And he was telling stories about the good old days, taking a drive with his baby by his side, and that old Ford breaking down on the Lincoln Highway. Well, the stars, they were shining bright that night, and your mama going all the way, on the Lincoln Highway.
Our next guest joining us on The Travel Guys is a noted Lincoln Highway historian and author. Brian Butko joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Brian.
Hi there. It's Pennsylvania.
Yeah, all the way from Pennsylvania. Brian, tell us a little bit about how you got into being involved in the Lincoln Highway. A lifelong historian like yourself, what attracted you to this historic road?
Well, I think like a lot of us, traces back probably to the childhood trips, and in my case, my dad never went the same way twice. So we got to see a lot of those small towns and two-lane roads, and so that intrigued me. And actually, it was a great book that I saw in the 1980s by John Bader, who is an artist, called Gas, Food, and Lodging. And he really loved these kind of places, the old roadside diners and drive-ins, and painted photorealistic paintings of them. They look like photos. And so one section was on the Lincoln Highway, and I thought, that's the kind of stuff I want to go see and experience. And so one day in the mid-80s, we headed out and started trying to find them. And at the time, I didn't know, like a lot of beginners, the original road would run through the middle of town. So out here, Lincoln Highway is often U.S. Route 30, and that goes around the towns that have been bypassed. And I'd say maybe that's one of the first tricks if you're going to look for the old highway, is to know that the original Lincoln Highway went through the towns. People back then wanted the traffic down their main street.
Yeah, now they're all excited about trying to find some way to make every highway go around the town. Brian, tell me, I'm guessing you have traveled up and down the Lincoln Highway more than once. Tell me about maybe two or three of your favorite spots.
Well, I've never traveled it nonstop, but yeah, I've been on every part of it from Times Square out to Lincoln Park in San Francisco, and that's one of the great things. There's such a variety from the urban areas to being in the middle of nowhere and not being able to hear a sound except the wind. And well, one place I love more for just the setting is Donner Summit in California, with all the different paths that go through there, from the Emigrant Trail, the infamous Donner Party, to Lincoln Highway and the Transcontinental Railroad. As for a specific place, I think I like a place here in Bedford, Pennsylvania. It's Dunkel's Gulf, and it's an old gas station. And the amazing thing is, how many gas stations have survived from, say, before the 1970s with all the regulations and worries about underground tanks? Well, this is from the early 1930s. It's still in the same family, the third generation, still pumping gas, and it's in an early Art Deco style with yellow tile exteriors.
And, Brian, there are a lot of distinctive monuments, particularly on the eastern side of the highway back in the Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio area. You've got a house shaped like a shoe. We've got the old teapot there in Chester, West Virginia. A lot of unusual anomalies that as you cross the highway from one coast to the other, you not only experience the changes in culture and architecture, or landscape and whatever, but it's just such an incredible variety coming across the country.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the fun things about it, and the reason was pretty simple: trying those old business owners trying to attract customers who were speeding by, even if they were only going 30 or 40 back then, that was pretty quick. So when you're out on the highway, you need a way to catch their attention, so you build some giant building that's shaped like something, like right down from Dunkel's Golf is a coffee pot shaped building, and as you said, the teapot and some other funny things. And so it was just a way to catch more business.
Brian, I understand you have you have a couple of books. In fact, you've done a lot of writing. And tell me about your books. And I'm guessing that if you're going to travel the Lincoln Highway, having one in your possession would be a real benefit. And tell me why.
I wrote them more because it was the kind of book I was looking for if I wanted to head out on the road. And so the two main ones, the coffee table kind of one, is Greetings from the Lincoln Highway, and it's more about where the road went and why. So on a broad scale, the geography of the crossing the country, and then more specifically what those old-time businesses were and what still survives. And then the second book, called Lincoln Highway Companion, I meant that two ways. It's a companion to the bigger book, but also the glove compartment size companion for a driver. And reason is, a lot of people who like the first book said, well, now I want to drive it. Where do I go specifically? And since everyone's not ready to just put their family in the car for 2 weeks and drive two-lane roads, what I tried to do is have maps. There's about 100 maps in there that show the route across the country. And then places to visit or stay or eat at. And only about half of them written by me. The others were, I asked friends, what's your favorite place? And got everything from a general store in Clinton, Iowa that has rubber chickens to little tourist.
I think we're talking about the Smith Brothers General Store, maybe.
Exactly, right.
Exactly, with Steve Smith. We met him just a few weeks ago when we were out on the highway. What a character he is.
Yeah, and what a neat little place when you least expect it there. The kind of place that you might drive right by if you didn't know to stop. So it's filled with those kind of things. But I will say, both books, I don't overdo it. I didn't want to ruin the experience for people, so I probably only touched on a couple percentage of what's out there. There's still lots of great places to eat and visit, and I didn't even get into natural sites, the parks and things like that offer a lot more places to visit for people.
Brian Butko joining us on the Travel Guys this afternoon. Brian is a historian and an author. We're talking about the old Lincoln Highway. Brian, I really want to thank you for your time this afternoon.
Sure. We'll see you all out on the road.
That was fascinating, Mark. Now, where do we, what does our trip along the Lincoln Highway take us next?
Our next stop, Tom, is in the small town of Shelton, Nebraska, and we are going to talk to Bob Stubblefield, who is head of the Lincoln Highway Association in Nebraska. So let's go to Shelton, Nebraska.
I'm here with Bob Stubblefield. Bob, you operate the Highway Visitor Center in Shelton?
Yes, that's correct. We have our Lincoln Highway Visitor Center, and we're real proud of it. We really have probably more Lincoln Highway memorabilia than any other stop coast to coast, as far as I know. Now, we claim that. Somebody can dispute the fact, but that's okay.
Well, it would be hard to dispute, because I'm sitting here, and I was in the building a couple of weeks ago, and I would say not only do you have a great collection of stuff, but you have a magnificent facility, the old bank building that it's in Shelton. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, true. We just had our centennial last year in 09 because our building was built in 09. And it really is probably one of the neatest old buildings, at least for a small town. It was made out of marbleized brick on the interior, and they're still just beautiful. And the tin ceilings are still just like the day they were put in. And then we got a $40,000 grant from the Department of Transportation in Nebraska to help us set up our Lincoln Highway Visitor Center. With matching funds, we had to raise $10,000, I think, ourselves.
And Shelton is a town of?
Around 1,000 people.
Mm-hmm. So typical Nebraska farm town, I would say, in terms of lifestyle and just the way things go on. But I thought it was very impressive. It's a beautiful bank building, and that old vault there is kind of a hoot, too.
Well, we're going to store probably 100 years of issues of our local paper in the bank vault, and we'll have a reading room so people can research our history there. But we're right on the Lincoln Highway, and we have our phone numbers on the door, so we aren't open very much the time. But if anybody stops by and just uses your cell phone, give us a call, somebody will be there within 5 minutes.
You guys will come right on down.
You bet. I've even interrupted Wheel of Fortune to go to the Lincoln Highway Visitor Center.
Bob, tell me, how did you get this disease?
Well, I turned the big 8-0 in January, and I've lived within 2 miles of the Lincoln Highway my entire life. So I went to a country school that sat right along the Lincoln Highway and the Union Pacific Railroad. So we sat there as grade schoolers and dreamed of where all those cars and trains were going. And one of my fondest remembrances is that the old steam engines would come by with double headers, two steam engines with smoke just rolling all over the place. And we always wished that both of those engines would whistle for the crossings, but they never did. Only one would whistle.
I'm telling you, Tom, the old-timers on the Lincoln Highway have as many stories as the day is long. If you sit around, you can hear the most fascinating, off-the-beaten-track things you have ever heard in your life.
Listening to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and in a moment, right after the news, we're going to crank up the Sports Leisure Vacation time machine made from, no, not a DeLorean, but an old Pinto. I think a 62 Ford Pinto that Mark drove while he was in high school.
We're taking you back to 1915.
Next on the Travel Guys.
Welcome back to the special 4th of July edition of the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman along with Tom Romano. Just a reminder that our mystery spot contest is not happening today. The last mystery spot will be unveiled on our program in 2 weeks on July the 18th. So be sure to be listening for your last opportunity to qualify for the mystery spot contest. And now we have a very special guest for you as... What are you doing?
I'm making the sound of a time machine. Didn't you recognize that immediately?
We have fired up the Sports Leisure Time Machine, and back we go to 1915.
Our next guest this afternoon is Miss Emily Post. And Emily, I know that in 1915, before you became America's purveyor of etiquette, you made a very historic journey across the Lincoln Highway, and I'd like to talk with you about some of that today. Well, we're here today and to talk with you, and we're making a recording of what we're saying, and we're going to then broadcast it to other folks so they will learn about your journey across the Lincoln Highway also.
Just like a picture show.
Exactly like a picture show, except without the pictures. So, Emily, what does a high society lady from New York City, what makes her decide to make a journey across America's first transcontinental highway, which has only been proclaimed as such for a couple of years?
Well, there were two things that were very important to me deciding that I wanted to take this journey, and I didn't want to miss them, and I had a new job. So, in order to go to the international fairs, I came up with a reason to go.
Now, you were a writer for
Collier's Weekly Magazine, Mr. Hoffman. Yes, you know, Collier's Weekly Magazine.
I'm quite familiar with Collier's, yes.
Wonderful, absolutely. And what an honor for me to have this wonderful job. You know, I've worked so hard my whole life to write and become a writer, and to have this wonderful position with Collier's Weekly, I wasn't about to let anything get in the way of that. And what a wonderful combination to combine my new position with Collier's Weekly with a journey across the Lincoln Highway, this new Lincoln Highway, to the International Fairs. I just couldn't think of anything better for me to be doing.
But, Emily, it strikes me that in 1915 it's not necessarily considered socially appropriate for a woman, particularly a woman of your social standing, to be attempting a journey like this. Now, you did have some companions, but nonetheless.
Yes, and, you know,
you had a family member, cousin?
I had my cousin Alice, bless her. You know, there's something about people telling me there's something I shouldn't do that makes me want to do it even more. And the thought of letting the whole country know really what was out there on this Lincoln Highway that so many of us knew so little about and we were also fearful of. And I had Ned, my son, who was 22 and a wonderful companion, and I felt safe with Ned. We could write back to Collier's Weekly Magazine every week and let people know really what was out there on this Lincoln Highway across the country. And
so, Emily, what did you find? What would you like to share with people now that you found on this rather new form of transportation in our country?
Well, I found a four-letter word, dust. And the farther we went, the more it became a four-letter word. And then once we got across the Mississippi, we found a three-letter word, mud. But if I had it all to do again, I would do it again in a minute because we met so many wonderful people across this country. And, you know, I grew up in an elite society in New York City, and we all thought we were better than everyone else. And that's still something that I have a hard time tolerating in the people of the social class that I grew up in. And going across this country, we met the most wonderful people. Those memories are just irreplaceable. All of the hardships, the wonderful automobile that we thought we had that turned out to be the worst automobile we could have taken. It was special made.
Emily, I want to ask you about your automobile. Our guest on the Travel Guys is Miss Emily Post, who is with us today as we take a step back in time to Emily's journey in 1915 on the Lincoln Highway. Tell us about this very special vehicle that you had for this cross-country journey.
Oh, we thought we were so smart. We had an automobile that was special made. It had an American engine, special made, an English chassis. It was only 8 inches off of the ground. And the tires we thought were, the wheels and tires we thought were especially smart because, as you know, in 1915, flat tires was a very common thing, once every 100 miles or so. And we had wheels that were solid so that nothing could interfere with it, get into the between the hubs. And the tires were very narrow, only a couple of inches, made especially to avoid flat tires, which of course didn't work. And the worst part about that not working was no one had our
tires.
You
had to make a couple of detours along your journey to wait for repairs and parts for this special car that perhaps turned out not to be quite as special as you thought.
Yes, we spent a lot of time waiting on the Lincoln Highway for trains to bring in the parts that we had to send back to New York to get, just because you know, of course, we wouldn't take an ordinary Model T, but all of the mechanics said, no, if you had a Model T, we could help you. So we spent a lot of time waiting for our special parts to get there for our special automobile.
Emily, what would you tell Americans who are considering traveling across this great country of ours and perhaps taking a journey on the new Lincoln Highway? What would you tell them in terms of preparation or expectation or just what they might find along the way?
Well, in preparation, don't wear the normal clothing that you wear. There are things called dusters, and you do need them to keep the dust off of your clothing. Don't wear the heavy, fine-pressed clothing that you might wear at home. Be comfortable. Be prepared to not find a place to eat food. Be prepared to not find gasoline. Be prepared to have the farmers pull you out with their horses often and to pay them. But more than anything, be prepared for learning what this country is really becoming. It isn't what is just on the East Coast or on the West Coast anymore. There's a wonderful country out there to explore and see, and wonderful people living along the Lincoln Highway. And I highly encourage man, woman, child, anyone who's interested in learning what this country is becoming to really go out there and experience it for yourself. There's nothing like it.
Sparing no expense, once again, the Sports Leisure Vacations Time Travel Machine has brought you back to 2010.
The whistling time machine. Just in case, you know, you need to know this, if you make that whistling sound, it could cause you to go back in time. So don't do that.
Scary but true.
All right. This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. Mark Hoffman there. Tom Romano here. And where do we head next, Mark?
Next, we head to Kearney, Nebraska, which is right out in America's heartland. Sarah Folke is going to join us to tell us about one of America's most unique tourist attractions.
The Great Platte River Road Archway is a two-story museum with a self-guided audio tour. You start in the Oregon, Mormon, California trail days and work your way through time all the way up to present day in the Lincoln Highway. If you are a history buff or just enjoy museums, you will enjoy this hour experience.
So there are video opportunities, there are exhibits, and Ronnie was telling us earlier that the number of visitors to the arch is increasing each year.
Correct. They receive well over 75,000 visitors a year from all states and international countries.
And the arch is open 7 days a week?
Correct, during the summer, and then they do have winter hours, so it's always best to call ahead of time before stopping.
And the admission charge?
$10 for adults, $8 for seniors, and then there are children prices.
And am I correct in that this is the only monument attraction of its kind over an interstate anywhere in the country?
Correct.
So it's something, if folks are coming through Nebraska, they need to plan a couple of hours. And as somebody who just spent the night in Kearney with a group just a few weeks ago, I can tell folks that there is a wide variety of places to stay, places to eat, all those kinds of things. And Kearney has a very special designation with the Lincoln Highway coming up soon.
Yes, we will be hosting the 2013 Centennial Celebration of the Lincoln Highway in conjunction with the National Lincoln Highway Association Conference.
Way cool. 100 years of Lincoln Highway. Thank you, Sarah.
This is the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK, and I'm talking softly because Mark was talking so soft and soft there. Mark, why were you talking so soft?
Tom, there was a very important speaker speaking behind me when I was speaking to when I was in the time machine, and then when I got out of the time machine, the speaker was still there speaking, so I was just trying to be polite.
All right, I totally understand.
You know, us travel guys, we try to be polite wherever we go. Coming up next on the Travel Guys, our last visitor on our trip across the Lincoln Highway comes from us right here from Sacramento. Indeed, the president of the Lincoln Highway Association is a Fair Oaks resident. We'll meet him and learn about the Lincoln Highway in California and in Sacramento. Right after the break, you're listening to News Talk 1530 KFBK.
Welcome to the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We have a very special across-the-country trip on the infamous Lincoln Highway underway. And I'm here, of course, with Mark Hoffman. Mark, we got a special guest on the line right now. Who do we got?
Interestingly enough, you don't have to go far to find the president of the Lincoln Highway Association. While the road stretches all the way from New York to San Francisco, the historic highway, the president of the Lincoln Highway Association resides right here in Fair Oaks. It is Bob Dietrich, who is on the phone with us right now. Hi, Bob.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Bob and I both are just back from the Lincoln Highway's annual gathering. The one this year took place in Dixon, Illinois, which is the boyhood home of Ronald Reagan, in case you don't know your presidential history. And Bob was reelected to a third term.
That's correct, Mark.
As president of the Lincoln Highway Association, and Bob lives right here in Fair Oaks. And next year, the highway gathering will be in Lake Tahoe, so it will be much closer to home. Now, Bob, some people probably who live here with us in Sacramento are probably not even aware of the fact that this historic highway passes through Sacramento. It leaves Sacramento with only one route, but it comes into Sacramento with two different routes. Why don't you tell folks a little bit how the Lincoln Highway makes its way through Sacramento?
Correct. It's the only place on the whole stretch of highway where it splits into two alignments. Over in Fallon, Nevada, the highway goes both up to Reno and then across the Sierras and what is now known as Donner Summit, Interstate 80. The other route goes the southern pass over Myers Grade and up over Johnson Pass and down Highway 50. They come together downtown. The Highway 50 route takes a loop through Folsom, goes down Folsom Boulevard downtown. And the other route basically comes down Auburn Boulevard and hence into downtown, and the two of them come together at the Capitol.
Now, I know a lot of communities have made efforts to sign the highway, make people more aware of the highway. Bob, has there been any move in that area in California or specifically in the Sacramento area to raise awareness of the historic Lincoln Highway?
Well, there has been. A prime example is right outside of Sacramento up in Auburn. Placer County was very cooperative. We provided the signs, and they provided the labor and the posts and the right-of-way to erect the signs all through Auburn and all through Placer County. Here in Sacramento, the old ghost town of Clarksville, which is just south of Folsom, has a Clarksville Day every May, and the Lincoln Highway is quite well represented at that meeting of the Clarksville people.
Well, Bob, as comes closer to the time for the Lincoln Highway's annual gathering in Lake Tahoe next year, we'll check back with you and get some more details.
I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. Bob Dietrich, the president of the Lincoln Highway Association, who lives right here in Fair Oaks, with us today on the Travel Guys.
As our journey across America's highway, the Lincoln Highway, nears its end, Travel Guy Mark Hoffman, in our next segment, will give us his personal impression of the personality and the people of the Lincoln Highway. That's next on the Travel Guys. Happy 4th of July, and thanks again for joining us here on the Travel Guys on News Talk 1530 KFBK. And as we near the end of our journey across the Lincoln Highway, let's get an insider's look, a personal impression of the highway and the people along the highway from Mark Hoffman. Mark, about a week ago, you were there on the Lincoln Highway.
Well, we were at the Lincoln Highway Conference in Dixon, Illinois, which was, as I mentioned earlier, was the boyhood home of Ronald Reagan. And he actually was born just a few miles south of Dixon and lived there as a young man. And we had taken a group of Sacramentans from Chicago to Cheyenne just prior to that, earlier in the month of June. So I've spent a good portion of the last 30 days along America's most historic highway. And I guess, Tom, you know, one of the things that maybe hasn't been captured by our guests today is there are a lot of awfully nice people in the heartland of this country. And a lot of times people, I don't think, think of Iowa and Nebraska and Wyoming as being, and rural Illinois as being, tourism destinations. But everybody is from somewhere. And lots of people are from Iowa and Nebraska. I am from Omaha, Nebraska myself.
I have family members. My mother-in-law, born and raised in Nebraska.
And interestingly enough, because of the Lincoln Highway was the northern route, and Route 66 was the southern route.
Mm-hmm.
And so when people were escaping the Midwest, particularly during the Dust Bowl days in the 30s and 40s, they came across on those two roads. And you will find, down towards Bakersfield, a lot of people who are from Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma, and the like. And here in the Sacramento area, you will find an awful lot of folks who are from Nebraska and Iowa and perhaps the Dakotas and the upper Midwest. So
fascinating.
The folks who are back there are the nicest people. And you could do yourself much worse than just going back and spending a few days traveling the old highway through those two states and meeting some of the folks and stopping in some of the towns of 500 or 1,000 people that have beautiful historic murals painted on their wall depicting part of the town's history or some of the historic characters that have lived in that particular region or have passed through there at some point in time. We talked with Emily Post. You're going to go past Buffalo Bill Cody's home in North Platte, and you're going to trace the routes of practically every immigrant trail that came across the country, the Oregon Trail, the Mormon Trail, the California Trail. They all passed through the Platte River Valley in Nebraska because mm-hmm. that was the easiest way to get across the country. And I guess another thing that I might mention is the inexpensive cost of traveling in that area. I mean, it's amazing. You could feed people. We fed an entire group lunch meals for, you know, 25 people for $250 on a regular basis. And you just can't do that in big cities.
And the hospitality.
Amazing. And the food. Oh, if you love comfort food, then you've died and gone to heaven. In Iowa and in Western Illinois, there is a delicacy known as a loose meat sandwich. Now, if you were a fan of the old Roseanne comedy series, mm-hmm. you perhaps could remember her mentioning she worked in a diner in a Chicago suburb. They talked about loose meat sandwiches, which is basically a sloppy Joe without the sauce.
There you go.
And wrapped a hamburger wrapped with loose meat, wrapped very tightly, lightly spiced with mustard and pickles and onions on it. And pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. Really good, actually. And we stopped. There's all kinds of places. If you're not in a hurry to get from one place to another and you can afford to take the time to travel on a road other than the interstate, you will find that there's a whole country out there. And if you just slow down a little bit and open your eyes, it's amazing the things that you will see.
And for those that may not want to, venture out on a trip like that on their own, in their car, because they're concerned maybe they might have an Emily Post experience with with flat tires and so forth. What is it that Sports Leisure Vacation offers in that particular area?
Well, Tom, the classic highways have become – I've become kind of an off-the-beaten-track specialist.
Yes,
I guess.
You have.
And I really enjoy those places, and I will be taking people on a tour of historic Route 66. In fact, we should do a Route 66 program in a month or two and take folks along that old historic highway, which I will be doing the first 2 weeks of October. So if you are interested in – if what you heard today was something that interests you, go to sportsleisure.com. And look up the Route 66 tour and join me in October. We would love to have you. If off the beaten track is your thing, you would do yourself a great favor and have a true life experience. If life is the pages of a book, traveling on one of these old historic highways is like writing one of the pages of your life.
Fascinating. Well, this is the radio show that, you know, kind of blends happy times and vacations with the family to basically history lessons. I can't believe how much I've learned about, the history of America and of travel into this country just being a part of this show. And I'm hoping that our listeners are experiencing some of this as well. We are Sports Leisure Vacations Travel Guy Show here on News Talk 1530 KFBK. We did not do our contest this week because this program is pre-recorded.
But we will be back in 2 weeks with your last chance to qualify in our Mystery Spot contest and win a trip to Hawaii or New York City. You could be seeing Broadway shows or watching beautiful ladies hula on the beach. Compliments of the Travel Guys.
Very cool. Stay tuned for Ed Outland next week in this time slot, and stay tuned for our own Ed Crane next up on News Talk 1530 KFBK and the Grapin Golf Show.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. I'm Mark Kaufman with Tom Romano. We are the Travel Guys. This is News Talk 1530. Have a great week.